Hi, this is Mr. Brown. Welcome to See What Show, the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people.
And this is Ling. Today we have exciting things for you.
Things we lost in the fire.
And Margot at the wedding.
Knight Rider 2008.
Wow, David Hasselhoff.
All right. He's in it, actually.
Yes, with Kit again, yes.
You gotta have something campy, right? You got all this drama going on. But let's look at what's showing this week. There will be blood.
Indeed, there will be blood. Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, has already won the Best Actor nod for his role as the ruthless oil chaser.
What's up with all these murderous movies?
I don't know. It's Hollywood.
No Country for Old Men. Then the what Sweeney Todd. Sad.
Yeah.
It's like obsession that. With psychotic killers and murderers.
Yeah. So unlike Kung Fu Dunk. Oops.
Yes, we have to have Kung Fu Dunk movies more. The Hollywood to consider Chinese New Year movies.
Yes. Well, I'm guessing that people will want to go and watch this movie.
Daniel Day-Lewis, since
he has just won the Best Actor for the Oscars. Another one that you might want to catch is Jumper. This one is not so violent, right?
Or not.
Or not.
Someone said in our Twitter box, $10 of my money jumped out of my pocket after I watched Jumper.
Okay. Hey, at least he's good looking, okay?
Anakin...
Skywalker.
Skywalker is a teleporting guy who is chased by Samuel Jackson, whose job is to kill people who can teleport. It's got no plot, but it was a fun evening for us anyway. So that was Jumper. Suckage is very high, but for some reason, I just enjoyed seeing go boop, boop, boop.
Okay.
And Samuel Jackson's awful hair.
Ah.
Also showing, finally, the sequel to Death Note.
That's right.
Three.
Death Note spin-off.
L, I know it's L.
L.
Quite a cool name, L.
Yeah, L.
Yeah, loser.
What's that about, Death Note?
Death Note, the book you write inside belongs to the god of death. And then you write a name inside how the guy gonna die, and the guy will die. So this guy got hold of a book. This guy called Kira. And then L is the nemesis who is trying to stop this guy from killing more people with his, death book, Death Note book.
So more death, more violence.
Yeah. And L is in the hero and the main character here. Kira was the person. Kira is the same name they gave to the guy who was uploading Edison Chen's personal collection of private photos.
You know, Edison Kira. Chen. I feel quite sorry for the guy, you know. I mean, of course, he sounds like he's this sex maniac or whatever, but forgetting, of course, that it was somebody who stole his personal information from his laptop.
Don't take photos. It's no good. At the very least, you must shave.
Don't store anything in your laptop because it's no good. Other people may steal it.
Wear good, clean underwear. You'll never know who can see your private photos. Come, review time.
But Edison Chen's headed to Hollywood, right?
No, I think he's retiring already. What's he going to do in Hollywood?
I don't know. Something.
Porn movies. Okay, review time.
See what show? Review time.
Things we lost in the fire. I keep thinking hard drives, photos we lost in the hard drive.
It's true.
Okay, Things We Lost in the Fire is a drama.
Hi, my name is Jerry.
Hi, Ken.
Don't love him. You love me. Do you hear me? I'm here because my friend died. Died a hero.
That's my wife.
You're hurting her.
In this tragic way.
No!
Are you Mrs. Brian Burke?
Your dad was my best friend.
When?
When I was your age. Last week.
Thanks for coming.
Sure.
He was so loyal. Most people would have given up on you, but he didn't.
Here's the deal. You can move in, get yourself situated, and
you can pay me rent.
I don't need your charity, Audrey.
I'm the one that needs the help here.
I need you to stay. Can you just stay for a little bit?
Audrey, I don't think she's facing reality, man.
I don't know if I'm ever going to feel happy again.
With Halle Berry and Benicio, how do you pronounce that?
Del Toro.
Del Toro? Yeah.
Benicio? Yep.
Well, this is Halle Berry acting as Audrey, who has lost her husband, Brian, acted by David Duchovny, ex-spouse man, to a senseless murder. And she's trying to cope with this loss.
Mm-hmm.
She invites her husband's best friend, Jerry Sanborn, acted by Del Toro. You know, Traffic, The Usual Suspects, Sin City, him.
He's very good, you know.
Yes. I love to watch
his movies. His presence is wonderful.
He's solid. Ugly, but acts them well.
No lah, rugged.
So he invites her husband's best friend, Jerry, who's a drug addict, to look after her two children, to move in with them, to fill the emptiness in their lives. Yeah, I know. And through his interaction with them, he turns his life around, and he also in turn helps this family deal with their loss.
No!
Yes! That's a hallmark moment right there. But you know,
my God.
Okay, stay with me. Okay, this is a very beautifully shot movie, let me just say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is gorgeously shot. Acting also very power.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the one thing that really saves it. I mean, it is not a popcorn movie. It is almost as if it was created to win Oscars. You know, one of those, like, we will now create this movie that is full of drama and acting and beautiful shots so that we can show the Oscar people that Americans can also do serious movie. Not like only the Europeans can do what? Huh? We also can do. So the people in here all very emo. The shots very artistic. Close-ups of Halle Berry's right eye.
Oh.
Close-up of Del Toro's left eye. And then reflection of David Duchovny and his kid in the water. You know, very artistic.
So what, it takes 3 hours, is it?
Two, actually. Not too bad. But a bit slow. You see, like, David Duchovny's Brian character in mostly flashbacks, poor guy. Just to show you how good a relationship they had, you know. Audrey and Brian, they were so close. How deep Audrey felt for him. Then when he's gone, then she, like, struggled. Then the friendship also was shown between, you know, two very unlikely friends. One is a drug addict and one is a successful, like, you know, regular guy who doesn't take drugs. And how much Audrey basically hates Brian's friend, the bum lah. I don't know why Halle Berry always gets these mixed relationship roles. Like, she's always the chick in with a white guy in movies. I don't know. Just a thought. But she does put up a very good performance. And Del Toro as well. As much as I found the plot very plodding. Like, yes, we know we're dealing with loss here. And the fact that the widow can seek out the help of the friend of her husband that she hates and is obviously not a very upstanding citizen. It's not very plausible, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all this stuff. But Berry captured that whole woman struggling with loss. It's very, very well. There's this scene where she loses it with her kids at the breakfast table over something really, really trivial. She just, like, screamed at them over something that's triggered, you know. And I've seen that kind of reaction in mothers under stress before.
Mm.
And it was so familiar. It just sent a chill right to my bones. And I was like, wow, that was a powerful moment right there. Because you can see she has exploded. Because she's been, you know, all building up inside her. The husband not, you know, losing the husband and having to deal with it. She is a very unpleasant character that you have to deal with for 2 hours. But she keeps you sympathetic, which is kind of an achievement in itself. Now, Del Toro was, I think, the star of the show.
Yes, I can imagine.
Yeah. He did this whole flawed character thing, like his drug addict with a heart of gold wants to change, you know, very believably.
Your dad was my best friend.
When?
When I was your age, last week. Strawberry Fields Forever is your favorite song. And Dory's got that scar on his nose. Because he was running and he thought the screen door was open.
But it was closed. Everybody knows that, Dory.
You don't like mimes? They scare you.
They don't talk.
Yeah. That's what they do.
Your suit is a little big.
Thank you.
You know, he's not milking you for any sympathy, but he gets it anyway.
Mm.
You just want to understand and root for him.
Right. So very understated. He was not acting, basically just being, you know.
Yeah. And it's such an ambiguous character, you know. He's so flawed, you know, and he's not really a goody-goody guy, but he's struggling.
I suppose you do get that kind of thing from good actors like them. I mean, if they get this kind of script and then they're like, okay, how do we make ourselves not look so bad?
Yeah, I think his performance basically was the best in the movie. Without him, the movie would have been like empty. And I think the two of them saved the movie from being this long, slow, one-idea cliché drama.
Mm.
It's a very cliché story. I mean, you went, no. You know? Yeah, but I just wanted to hate it, but I just couldn't. I watched right to the end. So, strange. I finished the movie going, damn, that was pretty touching and stuff. You know?
Did you cry?
No, I didn't, but I was moved.
To tear?
No, I didn't tear. I was moved. Damn. I want to hate it. There was things we lost in the fire. I wanted to hate it so much.
Was there a fire, actually?
There was.
Ah.
And this is a rock song as well that it was based on. Part of the garage burned down. And that was symbolic for the loss of
her
husband as well.
I see.
They lost a lot of things in there as well. Meaning, it's a lot of meaning.
Okay lah.
Okay.
So if you want to be moved, then that's the movie for you. We move on to Margot at the Wedding. Not Margot,
Margot
at the Wedding.
This is one of those indie movies, right? I see the trailer. You see from the way they shoot.
Yes.
And the colour is all very indie.
Yes. I was actually really going to say that it feels like an indie movie, but you listen to the dialogue, it's so entertaining. It's actually probably a very, very good idea that it's an indie movie.
Pauline, what are you doing getting married to him? He's that guy we rejected when we were 16.
Who should I be with then?
I'll punch your sister.
Never hit anyone.
I have two.
Who?
Lots of people. You don't know them. They're not around because I punched them.
Is it nice to see Pauline?
I really like her.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
Margot told Claude something. I expressly told her in confidence.
It's one of those things.
Don't say anything, okay? Just be there for me silently.
Okay.
I didn't want you to feel like you had to marry me.
I don't think
it... Malcolm,
what did I just say?
Why did she pick that guy? It's really bizarre. I don't understand her anymore. You know, she referred to me as her closest friend.
Huh? Have you ever cheated on me?
No! How many times do I have to say it?
But why don't I believe it?
Because Margot can't understand why you're with me, and now when she's around, you look for things.
Have you ever seen your mother climb a tree?
Can you do it, Mom?
No way, Margot.
What's she doing now?
She's stuck.
Shoot. The indie movies, they don't need to give you any sort of bullshit, you know. It's just what it is. And there's very good acting, very good dialogue. And I totally enjoyed it. It's a fantastic comedy come drama, which does dysfunction so much better than all the other movies exploring dysfunction since the filmmakers decided to hang out all the dirty linen of the American families. Okay, premise is very, very simple. You have two sisters. Nicole Kidman plays Margot and Jennifer Jason Leigh plays Pauline. Pauline is about to get married a second time. Okay, she has a 11-year-old daughter, or is it a 10-year-old daughter? And her estranged sister, Margot, takes her 11-year-old son to the wedding. Okay, so they each have a kid. One has a daughter, one has a son. So when the two sisters meet each other, you realize that they aren't really as estranged as they make themselves out to be, you know. There is some tension here and there, but they jibe each other with this great familiarity. Of course, things start to get weird when they alternately refer to each other as close friend, best friend, then sister, and then they make remarks, they make references to mom, you know, and things like that. Actually, you wonder for a while, like, so are they sisters? Are they friends? But you realize, okay, they're just neurotic sisters from this same family.
Okay.
So basically, you have Margot, who disapproves of Pauline's impending marriage to Malcolm, played by Jack Black, who's excellent.
Really?
He's
He seems to be very good when he's not doing this swearing, obnoxious comedian.
Well, he is actually a little bit. Yeah. He's fat. He's a little dim. He's quite the loser, actually, in this movie.
Malcolm played with Rick, okay, sick ones?
Yeah, in the late 80s, after he left the Cars, it was a solo gig.
So you're kind of famous?
No. No, believe me, I'm not. I used to want to be, but no. Do you want to be famous?
Claude wants to be very famous.
Well, make sure you can handle rejection. I can't. For me, expectation just turns to disappointment, so ultimately I'd rather not try.
I think in this movie, I really felt that he wasn't hammy or anything like that, and he held his own against the women. So anyway, when Margot comes to this wedding, you know, she, of course, has this heartfelt moment with Jennifer Jason Leigh telling her that, oh, you know, you're smart and talented. Why are you doing with a loser like that? But the irony, of course, is that her own love life is on the rocks, you know. So what remains is the audience will uncover what Margot's presence does to Pauline's wedding. I would highly, highly recommend this movie if you haven't already realized. It's very, very real. It's surprisingly entertaining. As you said, when it starts, you know, you see the trailer, you're thinking, okay, is this going to be like a very moment type of movie where it's very slow and things like that? It's not, because the dialogue is so engaging, right? You think that it's very real, it's very biting, it's not campy, it's very believable. And in case you think it's all talky-talky, it's not either, because the director and the writer is this guy called Noah Baumbach. And he captures this girlish competition between the two sisters very, very well. And there's a really funny scene where you have Nicole Kidman being challenged to climb up a tree. So she climbs up this tree. And then she finds that she's stuck. And what's even funnier is that while she's stuck, a bug flies into her ear. And then she has to be extricated.
By I've had a bug fly in my ear before.
Terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it was creepy. I helped the guy out.
How?
I put like toothpick in gently. Then the guy held on for dear life. He really did. And then I pulled it out. Then he looked very relieved as an insect. Would look relieved after being rescued from an ear of earwax. Then I killed it.
what kind of insect was it? I just have to ask.
I think it was... It was a fly, I think.
House fly?
Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't get away because it was all sticky, and he held on to the toothpick, and he couldn't fly away immediately, so I could smash him.
Ew!
I took him out like, oh, you are safe, I know, die. And that was the insect moment with Mr. Brown.
Indeed.
Okay, well, back to the show. So Margot at the wedding, highly recommended by Ling.
Yes, indeed. In terms of acting, I think Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Jason Leigh and Jack Black really hold it together as a very, very tight ensemble. Mm-hmm. Very believable. Nicole Kidman shows her range. But for the cruelty of the vain and shallow world of Hollywood, I think Jennifer Jason Leigh is one of those character actresses who should probably be getting more of these main parts. Mm. Yeah, but she's done well. She's got nominated for many, many awards, but not won that many. She's actually the real-life wife of the director.
Oh.
Yeah, but hey, no nepotism here. She really holds her own.
Just like maybe Gone Like That, huh?
Like
brother, but he's still a good actor.
Something.
Brother or the director, but still can act.
Something like that. So go watch it. Margot
at the wedding. Okay. Our last review is for Knight Rider 2008.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah. I know your father. He has sent me to find you.
If my father sent you, he would have given you a code word.
He did. The code word is Knight.
Oh, nice ride.
Hello, Mike.
How is this thing driving by itself?
It's not a thing, it's a car.
You may call me Kit.
So you're telling me this car is alive?
If they hack my system, they could start a war.
You're kidding.
I do not kid.
You're in way over your head, kid.
I think so, huh?
Are you gonna slow down?
Negative.
I'm glad you're having fun with this.
They're still back there!
Not for long.
Wrong side, wrong side!
Don't antagonize the car.
I think this is gonna hurt.
It's a movie, actually. It's a TV pilot movie.
Okay.
One of those 2 hour, 1.5 hour, 2 hour long pilots they do to kick off what may become a series.
So it's still a May, lah.
Yeah, but I think very likely, you know, I don't know. But it was apparently written in 12 days. Right in the midst of the writer's strike, and somebody said, well, it shows. But before I get into that, those of you who grew up in the 80s will remember the TV series Knight Rider.
What are you talking about? I'm a babe in the woods.
What show? This one, what show? I only know OC. The OC, you know the OC. I don't know this Knight Rider. I'm so young.
I only know Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Trying to hide. And David Hasselhoff was the hero with the supercar called Kit. That's K-I-T-T. That is bulletproof and can talk, you know, with a very hooky, very memorable theme song. Super pursuit mode, turbo boost. I can't remember, okay?
Well, we know who's older.
Oh, man. In this 2008 series pilot, I'm sorry, hardcore fans, the car is not a Pontiac Trans Am as it was in the original, because Trans Am, Pontiac no longer makes, there's no more Trans Am. So now we have a black Ford Mustang Shelby GT500KR. Cool car, muscle car. In fact, every car you see in this bloody show is a Ford. Except for one unbashed GM car that gets destroyed.
Product placement.
I'm telling you, it's not a problem. It's a bloody long, 2 hour long commercial.
Oh my gosh.
I thought that the Mustang was cool, but you know, come on, get some other cars on the road, you know. Try at least pretend there are other cars in this world, right? It's all Fords. David Hasselhoff has been replaced by Justin Briening, who is playing his son, who hates his guts because, of course, you know, he left him when he was young.
It's called conflict, conflict.
Conflict, conflict, yeah.
The cornerstone of drama.
Yeah, sure. But he had to do his job, he had to do his, you know, drive the car, or let the car drive him. So he had to leave his family behind. So this guy, the son, Mike Tracer, is French-looking name. Mike is an ex-army ranger and a failed race car driver who owes money to some bad people. So it's like, he's a cad, scoundrel. Anyway, well, nobody cares about the driver, It doesn't matter who he is, ranger, race car driver, got two nose, It's always about KIT, you know, which stands for Knight Industries 2000 in the original series. I bet you didn't know that.
No.
And here is
I wasn't even born.
Don't bluff. Knight Industries 3000 now. Upgrade already, 1,000. And this one is voiced by Val Kilmer, who stood in last minute for Will Arnett. I was supposed to do the voice. The car, it's okay, you know, like the original, it can talk with attitude and wit, you know, on the witty retorts. It has a red light that goes back and forth in front. And it's like bulletproof, can change colour. Nanotechnology. Go on internet, drive at 320 kilometers per hour with solar energy, mind you, that gives you 70 kilometers to a litre of petrol. It's fast and green. How's that?
This is the kind of movie that gets made in the oil is very expensive age.
Yeah. So, but then you go there and you watch it and you go that's it? What happened to Turbo Boost? With the Turbo Boost cartridges ejected every time it's used. What happened to that? You know, this kid used to tell David Hasselhoff, do not touch Turbo Boost. You anyhow press, he would just go very fast. This one, like that, already 300 kilometers per hour already. No need the turbo boost. What the heck? They better have missiles that shoot out of his exhaust pipe in the series, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very upset.
Well, the writer's strike is over, so maybe it'll get better. This pilot only.
if they make it to the series stage. The CG is not too bad. Like when the bullets hit Kit, right? The nanotechnology body can repair itself. Yeah, no dents. Better than bulletproof. I think Singapore sure buy on. Hey, look, the kid opened the door. Boom! Fix back.
Yeah.
Best, The plot in this pilot is kind of like some mercenaries from some evil organization is trying to get the research of a professor who happens to be the one who invented the original kid car and who also made the new one. And his research is very important because can make the world go to war. They go after his daughter, who's also a Professor Kang, who knows how to decrypt his codes and his hard drives. And this girl, this daughter, used to date Mike, the hero of the show. So that's how he gets roped in reluctantly to save her from the bad guys. Actually, not that the car kid really needs him, but you know, they have to put in a human, right? So the bad guys, basically, you watch this for the bad guys, okay? Because they should basically get an Academy Award for the most incompetent TV bad guys ever, okay? Sure, they like shoot people dead. Like, sometimes you're like, hey, this is a family show, right? Boom, fella die. Hey, oh. Why like that? Mm. It's not dark enough to be, you know, that kind of movie, but they kill people. Okay, fine. Whatever. But and then they glow a lot. Look evil, look bad, you know. We'll kill you. But you can't see that kid is the only Mustang around, me in a different color. They keep looking for him, like, and he cheat. The kid changes color, and then you go like, hey, where's the car? We can't see any other car except this white color Ford Mustang. Come on, you guys are in a helicopter. There's another chase scene, right? One moment you're following a black Mustang traveling at high speed, and then there is a white Mustang at high speed, and you don't suspect that that is maybe the car? Not very intelligent. Mm. I'm not so sure whether this TV series will make it to Singapore, though. Mm. Because inside, huh, got one lady FBI agent who is a lesbian. I have no issue with that. You know, it's just that it had absolutely nothing to do with the story. Mm. There is one moment where she just like, I got to go to this case now. And he says goodbye to this female, her lady lover in the bedroom. And that was it. Mm. There was nothing to do with the movie. It didn't go beyond that.
Gratuitous.
Quite. And even like another random moment where, to show you that we are now in the 21st century, Mike is in bed with like two chicks at the same time. So there's some off-screen menage a trois is suggested.
I see.
And alluded to. And David Hasselhoff would never have done that. Damn it. The acting is really bad, I'm telling you. The dialogue is very lame. The car acted better than those two soap opera leads. And they really were from soap opera, the female and the male leads. But like the original series, it's something like it's bad, but you just can't stop watching.
Oh dear.
It's like that. I really pity that David Hasselhoff had only a cameo. I hope they bring him back again and again. But he came in at the end. You know he's going to come in at the end only.
Mm.
As the dad.
All right.
Try to give the son some tips and words of wisdom, as a dad would. About the car and about doing the right thing and all that shit. But I thought it was quite funny. You can tell he was too old to do the part already, lah. So they had to find his son.
Mm.
It's fun to watch for the badness. I think you want to look for all the lame plots and watching out for the world's stupidest bad guys. And we must get hold of that solar panel they were using on the car.
Yeah.
Sure save petrol.
I know.
Singapore will be a new country. It'll be like super duper green.
Mm.
Yeah. Your CO will be worth it. So that's Knight Rider 2008, or the 2-hour long Ford commercial.
Yeah, man.
Apparently, the US, they had Ford commercials running throughout the thing as well. So it was overload. Everyone was like, what the? The show already product placement to heck.
Yes.
And then in between, you had Ford commercials. Mm,
Ford. Ford is German, right?
No, Ford is American.
Ford is American.
Yeah.
Mm.
The kit. Mm. Knight Industries 3000 coming to a Ford showroom near you without the blinky light.
Right.
Option.
Subtlety is lost.
Subtlety. That's your show for this week. Things We Lost in the Fire.
Margot at the Wedding.
And Knight Rider 2008.
You can really remember, no? How about this one?
You're older than I am already.
No, my father said to me.
Bye.
Bye. A production of Sing. What? Show.com.